Like to be seated, and if you're a note taker, do take notes. I may at times quote different passages from the Bible, so they may help you later. The theme of the service that I was given was Man Overboard. I've changed that to faithlessness and anger and fear. Faithlessness and anger and fear. And the book of Jonah is on page 875, and we're beginning at verse 9 rather than verse 10. Verse 9, page 875. It's very interesting when you look at the New Testament how Jesus told stories, and out of those stories a great truth emerged. And so we're going to begin this sermon with a story of within recent years which is based on truth. There was rather an eminent man. When I say eminent, eminent in the world. And he was visiting Italy. And so one day he thought, well, this is a beautiful Italian basilica. I will just pop in and have a look, because he was interested in architecture, being somebody interested in art as a whole. And so he went in. And he sat down in this beautiful Italian basilica. And he sat there. And during the time that he sat there, he had a revelation from God that was immense and completely knocked him back in the church. And so eventually he got up and left the church. What did he do? He spent the next 3 months thinking about the revelation of God that he had had, and then he thought, that's not for me, and did nothing, and ran away from God completely. The complete opposite to Isaiah 6, verse 8, where perhaps God in those circumstances was asking him to say, here I am, send me. But he wasn't having anything of that at all. And look back at Christian history, and just for a moment, and it's good to use your imagination, imagine what would have not have happened if the person concerned had run away from fulfilling God's will for them. Just think what would not have happened if the monk Luther had ignored God's call to head up the Reformation of the Church in the 16th century. Or to take another example, what would have continued to happen to slaves from Africa if William Wilberforce had not shown a lead in the abolition of the slave trade? And coming back to today, for all of us, what would not have happened if we had ignored God's call to follow Christ? I know for myself that if I had declined God's call to move to the Church of England and then All Saints, maybe our children would not have been in Christian ministry and thus helping many more to become Christians. Do we see that God has a reason for calling men and women? And he had a reason for calling the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh. And verse 2, cry against its inhabitants for their great wickedness. And if Jonah, as he did, fled from the presence of the Lord to Tarshish, God was going to do something about that in order to bring Jonah into line with his will for the prophet. As we look at these verses, realize from the book as a whole that Jonah had trouble with anger management. And surely this was one of the reasons why he was running away from the presence of the Lord. Why should Jonah witness to the people of Nineveh? For maybe they would repent. It is clear from Jonah 4:1-4 that he became angry with God because he showed mercy to the people of Nineveh after they had repented. Jonah's reaction was that such a wicked city should suffer the consequences of its sin. And to Jonah's mind, any idea to the contrary was unjust and unfair to righteous people. Further, they were not his sort of people, these people of Nineveh. They were of a different tribe. Why should they be saved by God? Anyway, on the ship, Jonah acknowledges, verse 9, that he is a Hebrew and a worshipper of Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and who made the dry land. Jonah's case is a bit like today one of us working among non-Christians saying that we are Christian, that is, followers of the Lord Jesus. It is interesting in revealing that the men on the ship became even more afraid, verse 10. They were conscious that Jonah was doing a terrible thing in fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And Jonah had already admitted as such. And the fact that Jonah had told them of his flight from God opens up the fact that for Jonah himself, surely this was the beginning of the return for him to spiritual sense. We all know we have to admit our sin to ourselves before we are able to do something about that sin. Come away from it. Psalm 32, these words. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. But as yet, Jonah was not ready to admit that the Lord would be a hiding place for him. Also a quote from that psalm. And he did not yet realize that God would preserve him from the trouble of the seas and thus deliver him. This was to come in chapter 2, which will be dealt with another week. But let's continue the story of these few verses. Just imagine yourself in this, what in those days must have been a pretty small ship made of wood. Imagine the voyage and the storm. And initially, remember that Jonah is fast asleep, something I've never been able to do, crossing water. But I'm extremely bad at crossing water. We need to realize that there is no more anonymity for Jonah. He wanted nobody to notice. He thought he'd be asleep. His co-passengers knew the full story of his flight. And as pagans, they wanted to know which God, God with a small g, is involved and the reason for the storm. For verse 11, the sea, and imagine this, in this wooden ship, was growing more and more tempestuous. And Jonah knew the reason for the storm he sees and admits that he, Jonah, is the cause. Thus, the other passengers know that Jonah's God, with a big G, Yahweh, was the cause of the great storm coming upon them. Also, note their reluctance to throw Jonah into the sea. And amazingly, Jonah actually made this suggestion. Further, verse 13, the men concerned, as we can see, rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. So they tried like anything to get the ship back so they wouldn't have to throw Jonah into the sea. Now the strangest thing happens. The men cried, not to their own gods, with a little g, but to whom did they pray? To God Yahweh, Jonah's God. Verse 14, please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Do you see what a reverse situation this is? What is interesting is that in a reverse sort of way, Jonah had brought his co-passengers into some sort of faith in the Lord rather than their own pagan gods, because they weren't praying that their little gods would appease, but to Yahweh, our God. And then verse 15, as we all know, they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the storm abated. And in verse 16, at the end of these verses, there's a sacrifice to the Lord, and vows were made when they brought the wooden ship to shore. I don't think that they lit a fire for burnt offerings on this wooden ship. I think that even for those people would have been inadvisable. I think they did their thanksgiving when they got to land. But we don't know exactly what happened. But it's an interesting story and has a lot to tell us today. There is no doubt that the Lord Jesus' call on our lives, and that applies to all of us, can be very challenging indeed. To become a Christian today and admit this to our non-Christian friends, neighbours and work colleagues can sometimes be difficult. We feel embarrassed. Nobody else bothers about that sort of thing. But we cannot keep our faith as a private matter. We cannot go to sleep on our faith like Jonah did initially. Jesus calls us to witness to our faith that others may come to know and follow him. When I was working in Tunbridge Wells, those in the office knew I was a Christian minister. And initially I found out afterwards that they thought my boss was absolutely mad in taking on what was described as a non-stipendiary minister as a member of staff. And so, in a sense, I was working from the bottom when I got there. After 6 months, I asked one of the ladies called Judy in the office, what do you think about having a Christian minister working with you? And her reply was wonderful because it encouraged me and I felt that I'd got through. All she said was, but it's you, John. That's all. They'd accepted me. And by accepting me as a person, they were open to witness. And on occasions you had a chance to witness to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's call on our lives should be open, absolutely. Now, when we hear of people like Jess and Ali Wisdom leaving home here and moving to Burundi, this is a perfect example of a family answering Jesus' call to leave family, home, and previous career to serve the Lord in a new and in some ways hostile environment. But remember, the wisdom's decision was theirs, not ours, as Jonah's call was his, not ours. Our challenge is to answer Jesus' call on our individual lives, whatever that call may be. In a daily sense, his call on our lives is to take up our cross and follow him. So when that life difficulty comes our way, and we wonder where God is leading us, an illness maybe, don't give up, but continue to trust the Lord Jesus to bring us through, to be our hiding place, our preserver from trouble. And as we shall see in the weeks ahead, the Lord was going to save Jonah from death. There's another point inherent in these few verses. It seems Jonah was angry that these people in Nineveh should be rescued from their sin. I mentioned this at the beginning. And we sometimes can be unaware, rather like Jonah, of the importance of doing everything possible to help people to faith. You see, Jonah treated the people of Nineveh very badly in the first place because he thought they're not important. They can depend on somebody else. They don't need me. Some of us might think to ourselves that people, okay, they don't need a call from us. They can come to church on Sundays if they want to. In Crowborough, there are a number of Christian churches open for Sunday worship. And the same situation occurs throughout our nation, for the Church of England has churches in virtually every city, town, and village. You know, we can so easily rest on our laurels and church structures when it comes to evangelism and witnessing. But we are called, rather as the early church was called, to use every opportunity to witness to the gospel. That's why our church, that's All Saints, originally thought about a church plant. That's why my son Jonathan leads up a church plant in Haywards Heath. He wants to bring the gospel to people who don't know Christ. I had some difficulty myself in understanding both Jonathan and his wife Bethan's answer to God's call, but I realized that gospel ministry is not about church structures, but about using every opportunity, whatever it is, to take out the gospel to a nation which is partly multi-faith and partly atheistic. As I said previously, Jonah's co-passengers ended up praying to Yahweh, not their pagan gods. And as we will discover in the weeks ahead, the people of Nineveh were to repent. How often do we think so-and-so will never become a Christian? We think that person, man or woman, will never respond to the gospel. We think it's pointless, so we do nothing. And yet it's the case of Jonah. We are to be the person God has decided will be the one who brings that family member, friend, neighbor, work colleague to faith. And remember, in relation to our nation, which in some respects is a multi-faith nation, that it was similar in Jonah's day. It was similar during Jesus' ministry. For example, Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman, the Roman centurion, the Syrophoenician woman. There are many more examples in the New Testament. So if we have a call, think about it very carefully. As we read these verses, there is a point we should not forget. And this is important because we don't live as guilty people. Not everything that happens to us is because of sin. Again, look at Jesus' ministry. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples about the man blind from birth. It wasn't sin that caused this, but God's work might be revealed in him. John 9, verses 1 to 3. But, nevertheless, when we receive a word from the Holy Spirit on reading a passage from the Bible, or some other indication, we need to take seriously any call from God and pray about our reaction to what God is saying to us and maybe what God is calling us to do. It's a serious matter. At the beginning of the sermon, I showed my theme as faithlessness, anger, and fear. To be faithful as a Christian until the day we leave this world is a wonderful characteristic. Many of us will remember John Edison. What a splendid person he was. And right to the end, he was following Christ. And to nearly the end, preaching from this pulpit. In all the troubles and worries of this world, to control our anger at what happens to us is important, because if we find ourselves getting angry with God, with what he does or we think he does to us, because of his call on our life, it is counterproductive. It can lead to loss of faith and therefore spiritual death. We humans are fearful, but the best fear is the fear of the Lord, for this fear is the beginning of wisdom. And we don't fear the Lord like pagans who want to appease him with good works, but rather fear God. What does this mean? It's because we can't really understand exactly what he's going to do. That's what the fear of God is about. We can't always understand his ways. He is a person who maybe we will understand a little bit as we get older. But when he calls us, there's a reason for it. At my age now, and only now, do I begin to understand what Jesus has been doing in my life and the lives of my family. I would never have understood this when my wife Caroline and I were first married. But that is what way God works. And you fear God because he is someone who is, how can I put it, you never know what he's going to want us to do. But let's end with words from Psalm 73. Truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. These could be Jonah's words, couldn't they? And they could be ours too. This was Jonah's experience and can be ours sometimes. But at this, at the end of Psalm 73, we read the words which we should take to heart, maybe take home with us. But to me, for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge to tell of all your works. Eventually, Jonah reached this state of mind. This will be our state of mind as Christians if we are faithful right to the end. Fear God. And rather than being angry with God, as Jonah seemed to be, open our lives day by day to the working of the Holy Spirit, who calls us to witness to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we never know what God's going to call us to. Amen.